our weekly chat with Hall of Famer Adam Oates. Also runs OPP Hockey, where he is an individual skills coach for many NHL players. Also does some teachings for young players as well. Oatesy, welcome back to the show. How you doing?
I'm good, bud. How are you?
Oh, I'm excellent. Lots to talk about. We are in the final week of trade deadline, which, I want to ask it, like, obviously the Oilers are a seller. We know what's happening. He's talked to Teddy Purcell. He's been pretty open about it. He kind of, knows what to expect. He firmly believes he's going to get dealt, and, that's just kind of how it is. Now, on veteran teams that add players at the deadline, I know they always say, hey, they get excited about it, but there's got to be a fine line there, too, because if you add a player, usually somebody's losing ice time or somebody's coming out of the lineup who might be a good guy on the team. How do you have to deal with those dynamics?
That's a very good question. Something that I'm sure the GMs put a lot of time and thought into. You want to add a guy, you want to add a piece. You don't want to disrupt the lineup. Maybe it's come from an injury. You look at the Washington Capitals, they just brought in Mike Richards, right? And I think, they think they have a hole maybe at center. They want a guy who's been there before in the playoffs, presence. I think the team's good enough that if he doesn't quite get it done, they can maybe move on without him. So it's not that much of a gamble. You didn't give up much to get him. But, yeah, those are all very valid points that, you're thinking about that. You don't want to disrupt the locker room or disrupt the guy's feelings too much, because it does change ice time. And before you know it, you got a good thing going, and you just kind of put a little flaw in the system, and it just shows itself, so it's a really difficult thing.
You were traded a few times during the season in your career. When you went from Detroit to St. Louis, it was in the off season, so probably wasn't as drastic for you. But when you went from the Blues to the Bruins, you got traded, but not right at the deadline, a little bit earlier, ended up playing 26 games for the Bruins. And of course, into the playoffs. For a veteran guy, when you get traded from a team like the Blues, who didn't make the playoffs that year, and then you go into Boston, who is a better team, like, I'm sure it gives you a boost, but how do you feel your way into a room as a veteran guy acquired at the deadline?
It's the same sort of stuff. You're a veteran, but it's change, right? And it's just like changing a job. You go in there the next day and there's a mutual respect. You kind of shake everybody's hand, and then and everybody's got different personalities. Some guys are really easygoing. Some guys are uptight, and you just kind of like work your way in. And depending on how you feel, and the best thing for me was, can you produce early? Because as soon as you produce, you kind of relax and you let the guys know that, I'm here and I'm a regular, and you get to move on with your job. But you know what? It's hard. I got traded from Washington to Philly on the deadline.
Yep.
And I can say, I was a veteran guy, and I never really felt relaxed, even through the playoffs. I didn't feel great. Never got to get my game going. And it is a short span of time. You don't necessarily fit right in, and everybody's a little different.
Yeah, that year you had 68 points in 66 games with the Caps, and then got dealt to the Flyers and had 10 points in 14 games, which is still pretty decent production. What was it about you where you just couldn't feel comfortable when you look back on it?
Looking back, I'd played in Wash a long time, and then, I had the same coach for a long time, so we were running on autopilot. So if I had a bad first period, I wasn't worried about getting benched or short-shifted, and I had my spot on the power play, and I was running the power play. And then you go to a team where, I don't have the chemistry with the coach or the players. You're trying to figure that out. Power play maybe wasn't as good. You're not getting your touches, and then you might miss a shift because he coaches a little different. And before you know it, there's a little doubt planted, and you're just not quite yourself.
And what was crazy about that, when you got traded to Philadelphia, if I'm not mistaken, in five games, the Flyers only score two goals, and you assisted on both of them, but the team couldn't score to save your life that postseason.
Yeah, we struggled. We struggled in that series. We played a good team in Ottawa. And I think, they made the trade to try and spark the team at the time because, it wasn't going on all cylinders. And obviously, I never solved that puzzle for them, and, everybody moved on. But sometimes GMs, you're looking for something, right? You either think your team's really good and you're adding a piece, or you're trying to create a spark, or maybe your team's just lacking one position, so you go out and get it, and hopefully that takes you over the hump. And that's, it's part of the formula.
Adam Oates joins us, Hall of Famer, now a skills coach at OPP Hockey. The regular season right now, like the Washington Capitals have won 44 games faster than any team in NHL history. Like, it's unbelievable what they're doing. You know, we're seeing it even in basketball. Golden State's fastest to 50 wins, and everyone's like, wow, that's great. But because Golden State won, everyone's like, well, it's great. And Washington, they haven't won the Stanley Cup, and I seem we're so focused on the Cup that sometimes it's not like you even enjoy greatness. And what the Capitals are doing right now is really something that hasn't been done in the NHL this quickly to get to 44 wins. I guess that's part of the business, Oates or Adam. But when you look at Washington and down the stretch run, because they'll be like San Jose of the East until they get somewhere, or at least make a cup appearance, everyone's going to say, oh, they're underachievers. But if you're the coach in that team or you're even a player, how do you ensure that you enjoy this regular season and, you know, be thankful that you are one of the most dominant regular season teams the league's ever seen?
Yeah, you know, I can't say I've ever been a part of something like they're going through now, but I've been on teams where you've had great runs, and it's a great feeling, and they feel they can win every single night, and that's obvious, and they pull some games out when maybe they shouldn't against teams, and you know what? They're going on all cylinders. They do have a great lineup. I know the lineup very well. They're good in all areas. The special teams are really good. They got a great goalie. You know, you're right, until they get it done in the playoffs. And I think that is why maybe they brought in Mike Richards and traded for Justin Williams, guys that have won a couple cups. And maybe there might be a stressful time during a series that you do need a guy with a little bit of that presence, right? And that's, they do talk about that. And you know what? Last year they beat the Islanders. Then they lost to a good team in the Rangers. Sometimes you need a little luck, and maybe they will this year. Who knows? But, you know, you keep going back to the show and to the playoffs, and you try and just be a little bit better, and maybe losing last year will help them this year. And that's what you're trying, you know, you try and keep building.
You had a lot of playoff success early in your career. You know, you won, and to me, playoff success isn't just getting all the way to the Cup final. You win a few rounds in the playoffs. That's pretty good success. Obviously, you're disappointed you don't get all the way there, but you know, your first 2 years, full season in Detroit, you know, you're playing 16 games each year in the playoffs. You know, you're winning two rounds. You know, unfortunately, you're losing to the Edmonton Oilers, but for teams like the, you know, one of the greatest teams ever, but you look at the Capitals and, you know, Alexander Ovechkin, because he's a superstar in that team, one of the greatest goal scorers that the league has ever seen. Did you, you know, do you feel more pressure in the playoffs? Is it just natural for guys? And, you know, what advice would you give Ovechkin to allow him to play his game and not so much worry about the end result? Because he still only plays one third of the game, even in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's a really hard thing when you phrase it like that, isn't it? You know, and one of the phrases the veterans tell the young guys is enjoy it now, do your best now, because it's not always going to be this easy. Like, I remember those Detroit teams, you know, we lost to the great Oilers, and it was just fantastic to be there. But you're a young guy. You think it's going to last forever. And before you know it, then you go 6 years, 7 years in a row, you either don't make the playoffs or you lose first round type stuff. And before you know it, now Father Time's kind of catching up to you, right? And Ovi's got a couple years left where, that's going to be the case with him. It's like, people start talking about, oh, maybe they can't get it done. Do we break the team up? I think Steve Yzerman's a great example, because they had a really good team that lost a few years in a row, and they were really, I think, thinking about breaking them up and maybe moving Yzerman along. And then that was the year they got it done, and then he wins three more, and he's one of the best leaders of all time, right?
Yeah.
It was really that close. And you know what? They did have a couple kicks at the cat. They didn't get it done, that they were a great team. And then the 1 year they got it done, and before you know it, now you know that feeling in the playoffs. My advice to Ovi is, you can't control – you can only control your own game and the part you play in it, and just try and prepare yourself to do the best you can at the moment for you and the way you play within the team structure. And you've been there a few times. You haven't always played great in the playoffs. You know, there are some you did. Try and focus on that, and hopefully you get the right matchup. You get off to a good start in the playoffs, and then next thing you know, you can relax and just play.
Adam Oates joins us. Adam, the Washington Capitals, I want to focus on that team because they're playing exceptionally well right now. And, you know, last year they were literally – You know, they had New York in game five. That's probably a game that they should win. It doesn't happen, and then they don't go on to the Stanley Cup Finals. But you look at that team with Ovechkin and Backstrom, and probably the player that maybe right now nobody's talking about but is absolutely dynamic, and Evgeny Kuznetsov, 22 years of age, you know, he's a little bit younger than Ovechkin and Backstrom, and he has come in and really become kind of the new straw that helps stir that drink. You watch the Capitals. What is the best elements of Kuznetsov game?
Well, I mean, you just said it. He's pretty close to a complete hockey player already. He plays like Backstrom, so it's almost like 1A and 1B. He can almost be the number one center. He gets to learn off. He's a young guy, so he's learning off one of the best. He's come into a situation where their power play is the best in the league for the last few years, so he's getting points immediately. Almost like the other guy is like Panarin in Chicago. He comes to the Stanley Cup champions. He's playing with Patrick Kane. Well, when you watch him play, he plays like Patrick Kane. So his rookie year, he's learning how to play at the highest level. I mean, you couldn't get a better situation. And for Kuznetsov, it's the same thing. He's learning off Nick Backstrom every day. Sometimes he's on the same power play with Backstrom. So he's getting lessons that you just can't teach. He's learning from one of the best players in the league. And on a team that's they're winning – so they can put up with mistakes. He is a very talented player. He's playing with good players. He's playing on a good power play. He's getting production. So right now, the team, unless they have a major injury to the wrong guy, I mean, they are going on all cylinders.
Well, yeah.
And he's a big part of it. He is.
Like, so, you know, you're the head coach. Your Backstrom is going to play your tough minutes, and then Kuznetsov is a guy. And I know that there's no easy minutes in the NHL, but you know Backstrom's probably going to eat most of the tougher 5-on-5 minutes. But if Kuznetsov and Ovechkin keep playing together, opposing teams might have to start facing those guys more 5-on-5.
Yeah, and you know what? You will see as the playoffs go along, you play the better teams. The depth is always a big issue because Backstrom gets the first pair of D. And then when you play that team that has a good second pair of D, you'll find out, that's when you're going to see if Kuznetsov can really take it to the next level because he's still playing against good players in a 7-game series. And that's always the big test, right, is as you go along, the teams get better, goaltending gets better. But I do like their matchups. He does create dilemmas because they can switch lines, and it's like, who do you cover? I mean, because clearly you're covering Ovechkin. That's who you're thinking about first, right? And now you got a guy like Backstrom maybe playing on a second line, and you don't have your best defense against him. That makes a very difficult matchup.
You look at the acquisitions they made. Justin Williams, you talked about Mike Richards, more of a third line guy. They also bring in TJ Oshie, and what I thought was a steal of a trade at the time, just because he's a quicker player than Troy Brouwer is at this time. Do you see the Capitals needing to add any other piece, or is it just a depth add that they might add at the deadline?
Yeah, I obviously can't speak for him. I don't think they really need anything. It would be just a depth piece. They do have some good guys in the minors. They're pretty strong at all positions. You don't know about the nagging injuries some guys might have that you don't want to lose. I mean, Orpik just came back, so I'm sure everybody's watching him to make sure that he's going to be okay. But you know what? They're pretty solid. You don't want to upset the apple cart, as we talked about earlier. And, their lines have a lot of chemistry, and they're winning every which way. So that's – why would you upset that?
Adam Oates joins us. Adam, as you look around the league, and it's tough. Like, so you got to go for broke sometimes as a general manager in this league. You got things rolling. We talk about the Capitals. But is there a team out there that you see, east or west, that you say, man, they might have to go for broke and make a pretty big splash at the deadline because – age or whatever happens, guys expiring contract, that this is a year. Like, I don't know if the Anaheim Ducks are that team in your books because they have so much cap space. Maybe it's the Dallas Stars who are having a fantastic year. Is there a team that you think this is the year where everything's hitting on that they got to try to capitalize on it?
Yeah, I mean, the number one thing I think is age. Obviously contracts for sure, but age is a big one, right? And there's a few teams, just like you mentioned, that they're close. They're very close. So do you take a shot? Do you upset it? Do you have to give too much away to take that shot? You mentioned Dallas. I think if they got another good defenseman, I think that would help their goaltending and help their team. What do you got to do and give up to get that? I think Anaheim's pretty good. you know what? I would say the question mark might be goaltending, but they're not. They just can't find those guys. And a goalie is quite capable of going on a run. You know, I look at the New York Rangers because Lundqvist is not getting any younger, and they got a good core of defense. They play defense very well. I'd like to see them upgrade their offense a little. Tampa maybe needs a defenseman because they got a great goalie and they got great forwards. But it, like as we said, you know, there's a few teams that you know, Chicago needs a little something right now, especially if Hossa is out. So there's teams that are you would put down as a top 10 team. That what piece do you need to take it to another level? But what do you have to do that? Are you hurting your cap structure for the future? Are you giving up a young prospect? You know, and these are all very important decisions, and nobody bets a thousand on them.
Adam, quickly, I was looking over your career, and you never, well, I guess you never missed the playoffs as an NHL player until 1996-97, and you came in 1986-87. So basically, you'd never missed the playoffs. When you missed that year with Washington, I can't remember the, because you got traded from Boston to Washington in that season. Were the Capitals close to making the playoffs? Did you guys miss by a lot? Like, were you just playing out the string? And how difficult was it, if indeed you were playing out the string that year?
It was very difficult because the year before we went to the finals. And we ended up losing Mark Tenorti. And then we were that team that had like 500 man games lost of injuries. Everybody got hurt during the year. And Mark Tenorti really hurt us because he was our Chara. He was our Drew Doughty, right? I mean, that changed our team. And it's very hard playing out the string, especially in the last month or so. You try your best. You're a professional. You do your best. But, you know, you're a hockey player. You want to play in the playoffs. And it actually was my first time. So for me, it was very difficult.
So when it's difficult, did you find games where the effort just wasn't where you'd normally expect it to be as a player looking back on it now?
You know what? It's a tough answer because my answer is no, because I gave my best effort. But there's a mental component to the games, right? And there's a mental component to the way teams fall apart. And you see that a lot every night. You see a team playing hard, the game's 1-1, and before you know it, the team scores one, and they score another one 3-1, and before you know it, it's 6-1. And it's like, what just happened, right? Well, there is a mental component to how teams break down, and sometimes that trickles into you individually as well.
Okay, and that's fair. And I always like, I could understand how a player, like, you don't necessarily just quit. I don't think it's in the DNA of professional athletes to just quit.
Yeah, it's not. But you just don't have your A game all of a sudden.
Yeah,
It's not work ethic. It's more mental. There is a mental capacity of the game, right? And before you know it, that guy, you think you're prepared, but that guy just hit me, and it's like, wow, that hurt today. What happened? And it's, you know, I guess mentally you check out a little bit. It's not, you think you're putting your effort out. And when that happens to teams, that's when you'll see a real lopsided loss. It's just because we just lost our mojo.
One last one. I know we always like to talk about skill development. I know you've been talking to a few young hockey programs, associations across the country recently. We focused a lot on sticks and everything. I want to ask quickly, Andre Sekera lately, he can't get a shot through from the blue line to save his life. I jokingly call him the shin pad assassin, and it's not been helping his game. So that's a skill set that just how would you help a defenseman get better at ensuring he gets the shot past the first forward?
Well, you know what? Anybody, when you're a defenseman and you're walking the blue line, that means you've had enough time to walk the blue line. You've already decided that. So as you're moving laterally across the blue line, where's the puck? Where's the puck on your stick? Where's your head? Because, you know, that's one of the hardest things in hockey is for a defenseman to do that because you lose that puck. It's a breakaway, right? So that's an art. There's a certain art to it. And then at some point, you're going to turn and face the net. So you have to have the puck under enough control to see where that guy is. And if you're getting that shot blocked by the first guy, then there's something missing in the equation we just talked about that you got to work on. That's all. And I think it's very workable. I think it's something that can be, you know, tweaked and add to your game. But you know what? We're all just talking skills, and everybody's good at some things and need to work on others. And it's just details of the game.
And it's something you just got to work on. You got to get out there and get some wingers or something up there, because I'm telling you, and I know you're watching games.
But I will say this. I will say this. If you have the wrong, and this is what I preach, if you have the wrong hockey stick, I don't care how many times you go and work on it. It's the wrong hockey stick.
Well, that's valid point, too. Valid point, too. Something to look at.
Like if you have the wrong tool, I don't care how much you practice. It's wrong. So you're wasting your practice time. You know, you go to cut a piece of wood with a saw that's not sharp. How are you going to cut that wood?
Not as good. It's true. I like that.
Yeah.
Old
so that's where – that's the next level of teaching is you know what? You got to work on the tools, right? Because you're trying to do something with the same one. It's failing you. I don't care how hard you practice. You know what? The tool's wrong. It's not necessarily your skills.
Well, see, we will.
That's kind of what I preach.
Yeah, that's totally fair. I get it.
It's complete. It's totally complete package.
We will catch up with you again next Tuesday. Have a fantastic week.
You too, guys.
It's Adam Oates, Hall of Famer.